We had many wonderful lessons over the 2 days. And it's important, as such, that we carry home in our hearts and our minds from this convention for our endurance and a lasting blessing. In a way, Revelations chapter 3 and verse 10 appears rather vital to our day. Because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, I also will keep you from the hour of trial or testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. So it's a call to patient endurance during special persecutions or trials of the end times of the harvest. Applies to the Lord's people and their experiences and trials that can so easily divert them away from the prize. So it's paramount to consider this facet of patience relating to the hour of trial. And the time setting of this text concerns undoubtedly the Philadelphian and Laodicean period of the church. But I would like to focus and examine the hour of testing relating to the final stage of the church in the Laodicean period. Faith members recognize the prime influence in this hour of trial is none other than the adversary. And a very graphic picture we have of the times is portrayed in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. But I realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Do these verses not remind you of today's headline? It takes a lot of patience to be surrounded by such various characteristics of this evil today. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" So judgment begins with the house of God. And as we all know, Greek word, their judgment is the Christ's final decision. So we have instructions for the home stretch or the last quarter mark of the 400-meter sprint. As the tendency of the feet members is to grow weary, we are so much need patience to endure the trials around us. And it is this patience of enduring in all these conditions or trials we're exposed to that we are given that warning, as we can also be drawn away from the prize. The church needs to be aware of its surroundings and its trials. And for deliverance and exaltation comes to those who faithfully and patiently endure to the very end. That is why patience is a requirement for the Lord's children. Why is it? In Revelation 3:21, "He that overcometh, I will give him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." What an incredible promise. Indicate that we need patience to be more than an overcomer. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Note that "in ages to come" is all eternity and infinite time. Wonderful advice that through all eternity, we need to have developed this very patience to the maximum this side of the veil. The church is promised, as we know in Genesis 12:3, the promise that given to Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. And to accomplish this great work, it's a necessity to deal with evil tendencies. That is why we need real patience to accomplish this work. Along the way, it's imperative to show our loyalty to our Heavenly Father with patient continuance in the hope set before us. In Volume 3, page 187, relating to the testing and sifting of the sanctuary, the pastor suggests that having left that first baby condition, not to become complacent. Wheat is to weather all tests, for who endures to the end shall be saved. And I just quote a few lines. Though coming out of Babylon is one step and a long one in the direction of complete overcoming, it is by no means the last one, and we should be careful to guard against the disposition to rest after every advanced step of the way. The step out of Babylon has generally been preceded by other steps of obedience, which in turn have exercised and strengthened the character for subsequent conflicts and victory. We are warned in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8, look to yourselves that you may not lose all that we and you have labored for, but that you may win and receive back, what? A perfect reward. We have to focus on what we labored for, as we can receive a lesser reward. To stand up for the truth despite much opposition. This exercises the very quality of character in being patient to the very end. Bringing into play every aspect of Christian development and trust in our dear Heavenly Father. Remembering, He is at the helm in all our experiences of life. Trials and brethren are both pleasant and unpleasant, but it's all arranged for our very good, to work out for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, assures us if we accept it in the right way with cheerful endurance. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end in Hebrews 3:14. Note that if condition, only if we hold fast. 2 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We are tested during the hour of trial to see if we remember where and from whom we learned that most wonderful vision of the truth. Sadly, it got dim for some along the way who once knew it, as we know. So the scripture has a very special application to us at the very end of this age. So those who will join the Heavenly Father must have characteristics like Him in order to share in His glory. So endurance and patience are essential, and we see how different words are used for these. In Revelations chapter 3 and 10, the word patience is Strong's 5281. It actually comes from Strong's 5278, indicating a cheerful or a hopeful endurance. And there's many instances like Luke 8:15, and the Lord uses bring fruit with patience. Romans 5 and 3 is good on this. And this Greek word is, if I pronounce it, hupomone, has a much deeper and fuller significance than attached to our English word patience. It signifies constancy, an endurance or perseverance of evil in a cheerful, willing, patient manner. It represents therefore an element of character and not merely a temporary condition. And this trait is lacking in the majority of fallen human temperament. And the principles during our trials, we are to be enduring, we are to be patient and be cheerful even unto death. That's the reason we go through these experiences. And as I mentioned, the same Greek word is in Luke 21:19 and 1 Peter 2:20. The Master's words in Luke 21:19, by your endurance, you will gain your life. In your patience, endurance, or other words, consistency, by keeping the new creature and spiritual hopes alive. It's not just for a moment, but to the very end. For he who endures to the end, he shall be saved. Example of a different word for patience is in Hebrews 6:12, and there the Strong's word is 3115. And here the Greek word is makrothumia, if I pronounce it. Word patience here is to put up with things like control our temper, self-control. And Hebrews 6:12 brings it out, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitator of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. James 5:10 is an example, brethren, of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Oh, the patience of Job. And James mentions that these obtained promises by patience in their self-control. Also, it's in Acts 26:3, where Paul addresses Herod, hear me patiently, or be patient and listen what I've got to say. A few ways the word endurance meaning is used in scriptures, and the one meaning is to last in 1 Peter 2:20. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So it's to bear trials, in the end, smooths ways for acquisition of all other traits of our character. As we are sustained by every trial, we have to keep on going, enduring self-discipline. We have to really endure. And James 1:4, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Romans 5:3-5 in the Revised Standard. I'll quickly go through it. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Long-suffering and cheerful endurance are two types of patience, the latter being a higher development, as long-suffering leads to endurance. All the faithful jewels must pass the test of loyalty and patient endurance. As when raised from a human body and given immortality, what would they do with that love? How long would we remain absolutely loyal? Need always be patient, long-enduring, and obedience to the will of God. That is the reason for our tests and trials down here. Revelation 3:10, because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial or testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. It gives the thought, I will prove the hearts of mankind by creating such a dominating force on earth's society that you'll be subjected to the snare or rebellious concept. Avoid it creeping into your lives and your homes. What the world seeks in their pursuit will be so subtle unless we are observant and careful. Avoid sharing the spirit of the world, since we are exposed to it so much via our multimedia today. So control it, turn it down. Pray to escape it. Luke 21:36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. During the Lord's second presence, practical advice to the spirit dominating this world, which is leading the world into destruction time. Pray to avoid that concept of this spirit polluting your mind. In other words, make yourself fireproof, and reprint 2975 is good on this. And it's so vital that you stand before the Lord with patient endurance, showing absolute loyalty. Some Old Testament examples come to mind. Daniel, how the decree went out. He did not bow down to that idol, placing his life in peril. How about David's zeal and patience? He could have killed Saul so many times. All these are noble examples, giving us a vivid picture why patience and obedience to God is paramount. 1,000-year millennium is just the tip of the iceberg. When the earthly phase is over, we see what work lies before us. That's why we are so interested in patient endurance. In reprint 5650, Patient Endurance, the final text, development of this quality is one of the conditions which God has attached the call for joint heirship with our Lord in blessing all families on earth in God's millennial kingdom. This mighty work requires those accounted worthy not only to appreciate his goodness and his glorious character, but demonstrate their total loyalty and joyful willingness to suffer the principles of righteousness and to his will. Only by a patient, cheerful endurance through many trials, even unto death, would it be necessary to demonstrate such a character for righteousness. And that's the reason why we go through these experiences. In reprint 2627, it's on the good seed, and that's the word of God. And the parable of the sower is there. The seed on stony ground had no chance. The ground represents the heart, as we know. Excuse me. The stony ground was not in the proper condition to receive the seed and to bring forth fruitage. The seed sprouted, but its roots were not deep enough. This class did not rejoice in truth, have joy as they spring up, but when the trials come down, the tender plant did not have the proper roots, and what? It withered and died. This class were faithful for a few months or years, but they were unworthy of sharing that great reward, as they were not faithful to the very end, as Matthew 10:22 brings out. Other seed fell on thorny ground, and the cares of this world, the pleasures of this life and its ties could not let it go on to a faithful conclusion. However, the seed on good soil developed fruit with patience. In the parable, Lord shows that patient endurance is the character of constancy as it survived the final test. Having received the seed and professing love, faith and joy that springs forth, showing the promise of fruitage, and such patient endurance is required so that the grain may be fully developed and ripened for the garden. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And wheat symbolizes the Lord's true followers. Tribulation, from the word tribulium, a Latin name for a farm tool that was used for threshing to remove the husk from wheat in old times. The definition of our tribulation in Webster means to press, to afflict. Quite an appropriate symbol of getting the real grain, the treasure of our new nature. The husk is the earthly condition and tendency. How each grain is prepared for the garner, for the kingdom, and each grain must pass through tribulation. The threshing removes the husk, that worldly condition, separates it from the kernel of wheat before it is fit for the master's use. So we submit to these experiences, coming to a happy, positive frame of mind, enduring trials, and to come to a point that we can say, as Psalms 40:8 says, I delight to do thy will. So we must have cheerful endurance. One example of patience endurance is in Numbers 14:18. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. The King James Version has the word long-suffering. In Hebrew, it's Strong 750:8. Two Greek words there, patient and suffering. God's long-suffering and mercy endure forever for those who repented. He waits for their repentance. He shows mercy on ignorant, but not the willful sinner. so that they will learn his ways, hopefully. And as I mentioned, Strong's 3144 earlier, for patience is long-suffering. In James 5 and 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the earthly and latter rain. The coming is the parousia, the presence of the Lord. The husbandman God waiteth. Special outpouring of truth at the beginning and the end times of the harvest of the gospel age. Oh, God is so patient because he is looking for that last members of the little flock. James 5, 10, 11. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Recall the patience of God, Job, his experiences of suffering, affliction, and family loss. The Lord is very pitiful and tender and so full of mercy. He rewarded Job later on. Word endurance in that verse 11 of James signifies constancy, perseverance. Job's posted perseverance, an example of holding on, continuing on, no matter what. Going back to reprint 5650, titled Patience Endurance is the Final Test. So what prompted Brother Russell in writing? In Romans 2 and 7, to them who by patient and continuance in well-doing seek for what? Glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Eternal life is the gift to all faithful believers. Whereas glory, honor, and immortality are the reward for the elect you. In Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. These scriptures do not exclude love, but include it as a continuing and enduring that must be practiced to obtain the prize. So patience is closely allied to love and mercy. Love is the highest degree of character development. The Lord stressed that in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, we know. But love is not unintelligent, as we need knowledge of the truth before we can love properly. You cannot love the Heavenly Father or the brethren without the truth. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Our love has to take on a significance to deal now along spiritual rather than fleshly lines. Philippians 2 and 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. We see love is associated with those of one mind. They love meeting together, though they may not totally agree, but they dwell in on an agreement, the same truth, loving the same things. Thereby we are magnetically attracted to one another. The highest degree of love has its basis on truth and righteousness, as justice is the foundation. Love comes with both pleasant and unpleasant experiences among our brethren. Our Heavenly Father's actions come to mind. We have to consider the fact that Adam's life was conditional and he progressed on to death. The Heavenly Father caused flood on the earth to destroy all things except Noah and his family. The Heavenly Father required the life of his only begotten firstborn son. Consider the Heavenly Father permitted 6,000 years of sin and death. Oh, yes, God is so, so, so patient. And he is so, so loving. Consider the Heavenly Father permitted the hour of temptation. Manifesting love is not always associated with pleasant experiences. It's a bit just like when we correct our child to show our love. The fourth quarter, Mark, is such a critical period. It's the home stretch if you're a sprinter of the last 100 metres of a 400 metres in an Olympic stadium. However, crystallisation of character is needed, not only to stand at that mark, but to be firm and firm up to the very end. At the fourth quarter mark is that mark of love, but we have to endure. After that, to stand and take whatever tribulation we are faced with. Endurance is needed with a cheerful patience after that fourth quarter mark of love. We need a continuance in a close bond between love, endurance, and patience. And Philippians 4:13-14 earlier, the thought is to keep pressing on, not to stop or stand still. It is a real straining forward, like for that finishing line right at the end, with self-examination, scrutiny of our conduct, our doctrine, and our walk in a narrow way. Matthew 24 tells us so why endurance is so important at the end of the age, as it is so difficult in Matthew 24:12-13. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The guy, Diglett, also uses lawlessness. The tendency in the world today is impatience, leading to rebellion, spontaneous demonstrations all around us, instant reaction, knee-jerk reaction to anything against any form of restraint. This worldly attitude can influence those on the narrow way. We need to resist lawlessness with the assistance of divine grace to make progress in Christ's likeness. Conditions of the world in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, I quoted earlier, we are to avoid that spirit of the world. In reprint 2792, column 2, para 1, if ever patient endurance was necessary, it is necessary now. If ever it was true, so now. Those running this race acceptably and possessing patient endurance will be able to stand in this evil day, and so others will be able to stand. For as the apostle says, the fiery trials of this day shall try every man's work of what it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13. We have many indications of these conditions in the world today. Acts 20:29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Savage wolves kill sheep. Spiritual lesson is that savage wolves can destroy our spiritual life. It is a possibility. Watch out for them. Verse 30, and from among your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. The problem in today's world and in the church lately is a lack of restraint of liberty or misunderstanding as to what really liberty entails. And we see these experiences of trials with patient endurance. Helpful to note the lawlessness. The Antichrist is creeping into the church at the end times, so be on guard. Follow our Lord's Jesus' example in Jordan. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Thy motive to be in our hearts and not a lawless attitude. So the church still develops in iniquity. At the close of the harvest and at the Lord's return, he is interested in his church being properly developed. Other type of experiences highlighted the main words on the screen for time, but I won't read it all. But after Jesus' presence, signs, lying wonders, unrighteousness, receiving not the love of the truth, God sends strong delusions that they believe a lie, did not receive the love of the truth and followed iniquity. So the love of truth is the final test. In 1 Peter 6:7. And in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, endurance, and in your endurance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, in your brotherly affection, love from the rotter. reprint 4044 quickly. Short paragraph. Ties in the thought how the vision of Habakkuk's second chapter fits into our nicely hour of temptation in the time of the harvest of the wheat and the tares to separate. When the true light shines in the harvest time of this age, all the awakened oil will see the day star and the dawning millennium. They will hear the message of present truth and will be strengthened and energized by his word as meat in due season. Being awake and loyal to him and to the principles of his government, they will promptly recognize the truth as the voice of God, saying to them, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues, in Revelations 18:4. And to Paul, and Apostle Paul to Timothy gives a advice for us in 2 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in the things you have learnt and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learnt them. Patient endurance constantly. But specially, please take note of that last portion of that verse. To know from whom you have received these things, giving us a litmus test for the truth today. In Habakkuk 2 and 2, then the Lord answered me and said, you know this, brethren, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. The next verse. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. A lasting thing, the Lord tells the prophet, write on tablets of stone, so it's unchangeable, cannot erase it. It's the vision, the plan of the ages, manifest in the Lord's due time and understood in his time. Let us have faith. Let us study to be found faithful in the sight of the Lord. The divine law agent was given to Moses. God gave provision to keeping that law. The same way judges today get laws and legislative bodies are given provision for maintaining that law and status quo dealing with disobedience. We do not question, as Habakkuk did in verse 6, and you know that. How long, O Lord? You know it all well. As we have faith and we have patience that the fulfillment of God's plan is according to his time, not our time. The means used to bring the present evil world to a close may appear discouraging in the end times for us. But we will find peace in God's absolute justice and compassion. And that is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Revelations 3 and 10, to keep the church from the hour of temptation, the Heavenly Father and our returned Lord Jesus Christ are always there for our protection in the hour of temptation. What a comfort. The verse is specific to the manifold truth that came at the end of this age, a special trial and a special blessings and a special provision. And I'll read it. Behold, you know this verse well, I stand at the door and what? I knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. And what? And will sup with him and he with me. To sup is the principal or evening meal. We have our Lord's own words from John the Revelator to assist us in the special trials and the end times. To have a benefit in a special hour, it is important to hear his voice, to recognize his presence. Also the means by which he is giving us this truth by the wise and faithful servant. If we fail to recognize this, we will have not that keeping out. Special blessing as we open the door to the Lord to have fellowship with us. Never before, in any other period of the church, the prophets would have dreamed of our time. Let us study then his word and not be deceived. I'd like to close with 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 13 and 14, my dear brethren. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love, so that we live with a victorious faith, through much to overcome with love and mercy of our dear Heavenly Father in this battle we have. To show our dear Heavenly Father we desire to be obedient to his will. From the very bottom of my heart, my dear brethren, may the Lord bless you all to be patient, to persevere, to overcome, to be more than overcomers, to be cheerful always, and to be faithful to endure with love motivating it all. Amen.